setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. Coming to you live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you are joining a conversation about you. What you were created to do. So we got to help you figure out who you are. We got to figure out what you want to do, where you want to do it, and then how to get there. And you have a lot of those answers. Turns out many of you just need me to help uncover them. Some of you already know. You're just looking for, hey, option A, option B. Some of you are going, hey, I'm on the ladder. I just want to keep moving up the ladder. Help me. Whoever you are, whatever your need is, if you want to live and work on purpose, to do what you were born to do, to move from paycheck to purpose, well, you're in the right place. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Let's go to Ruth, who joins us in Springfield, Illinois. Ruth, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ruth. What's going on?
So I am a college student right now, and I'm trying to figure out when I should start, you know, talking to my network and looking for jobs and stuff.
Now.
Go ahead.
Next well, question.
When should I put what level of trying?
What do you mean?
So, I mean, should I be actively reaching out to every single person that I know now, or should I just be in general looking at like who all knows what?
Well, okay, the way you ask that, then sure, you certainly want to identify some people, but you don't have to wait until you have this really good list. You know, if you sat down today and came up with three people, then I'd start contacting them. I wouldn't wait till you came up with 30. I mean, look, you're two years away. Building relationships now and making real connections with others to where you can build relationships and letting people know what you want to do, you know, what your timeline looks like. I mean, I don't think you can start too early. The worst that could happen if you start too early, they go, well, you're way ahead of the game, but yeah, I mean, yeah, contact me back and, you know, blank, 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 whatever. What do you want to do?
What does the conversation look like for what I would start now?
Okay, well, what do you want to do?
Well, I'm going to be in social media marketing.
Okay, great. So the conversation is, I'm graduating in 2 years with this degree, and I want to move into social media. And I want to pick your brain. I want to know, what are the trends? How do you think it's going to change? What do you think is the most valuable skill that is required to do what you do? You know, what are some traps that somebody like me needs to avoid to get in? What's the best experience now while I'm a college student that will get me to a place where someone goes, yeah, she's done enough. We can get her in right away. Those are the kind of questions. It's almost limitless, but imagine yourself doing a college research paper on how to get in and move up as a social media professional. Ask those questions. Whatever you would write that paper, if that's the title of the paper, I said, I want a paper. I need 3,000 words, 5,000 words, Ruth, on what it takes to get in as a social media pro and what it takes to move up. That was your big heading. You could probably come up with 5,000 words, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Go do that. I'm trying to simplify it for you. You're overthinking it. Now, here's the good news. I'm going to give you a copy of my best-selling book called The Proximity Principle, which is the proven plan that will lead to a career life. And it's written for people who know what they want to do, but they're unsure of how to get there. And I got the answer for you. You ready? It's about the right people in the right places. When you're around the right people, Ruth, people that employ social media pros, people that are doing social media, people that are training you how to do it online or in person. Okay. Again, those are the right people. When I get around those people, they're going to point me to other places where there are right people. Make sense?
Yeah.
I want to get in companies that have social media professionals. So how many people do your parents know that run companies or in leadership in a company where they employ people that are doing what you want to do? Your mom or dad makes the phone call, and before you know it, Ruth is shadowing somebody. And you may get a job, you may not, but you're going to get all kinds of great knowledge and wisdom. You know, if you do that for two more years, what kind of a head start you're going to have on everybody else? Huge head start.
Awesome.
Yeah. So have I simplified it for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the good news. Do you like to read or you want an audiobook? What do you prefer?
Actually, I already listened to your audiobook.
Oh, wait a second. Well, what? but you still called me. Why? I'm glad you did, by the way. You don't have to explain yourself as to why, but I mean, what are you doubting?
I guess I was just nervous if it was too soon
no.
to start building
why?
The network.
Okay, let's have some fun with this. What are you worried about? Because here's what's really going on. You're worried about looking too eager and blowing it because somebody goes, you're a weirdo. Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, you may not have thought it the way I said it, but that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, 2 years out from graduating, a very serious young lady like you wanting to learn, that's not going to look weird. That's going to look awesome. There's nothing to be afraid of. You're going to look like you really want to win. And people like winners. And successful people are going to go, yeah, come on over here, Ruth. The water's nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do what I tell you to do in the book. You're not going to look weird. I promise. 844-747-2577 is the number. But Toledo, Ohio is where Daniel is. Daniel, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken.
How are you?
My question, I'm doing well. My question is that I'm applying for a job, and I don't know if I should put the skills from my past professional experience on my application, since the job I'm applying for is pretty different from what I've done in the past.
Okay.
I was wondering if you can give me some insight.
Well, again, I teach relevance, relevance, relevance. So the stuff that you want to put on your resume, and have you looked at the Ken Coleman resume guide?
I have, yes.
Okay, great. So you want to put relevant stuff in there. If it's relevant, put it in there. If you're worried about it being relevant, get a second opinion, or you can hit me with the actual skills you're questioning, that you're going, should I put this on there or not? Because if we can tie it to the job description, that's the key. You want somebody who knows their job description to look at your resume and go, oh, we need somebody to do this, this, and this, and here's what's great. His resume says that he's really good at this, this, and this. Make sense?
Sure.
So no, the overall answer is no, don't put something on there that's not relevant. However, I think it's worth an exercise to try to make it relevant.
Okay, so here's the question. So I graduated in 2019 with a bachelor's in animal science, and I'm transferring into the medical field, and I'm in nursing school right now. So I have experience in the kind of the veterinary side of medicine. But
Daniel, hold on
side.
One second. We got to go to a commercial break. Hang on the line. I'm going to let you get to your question when we come back. Don't move. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Listen, folks, we talk a lot on the show about making your next career move and taking the next step toward meaningful work. But I know it can be pretty hard to think about taking a step forward when you're stressed out about money in the here and now. Ramsey Plus will show you how to budget every single dollar of your income so you can use it to its full potential, plus so much more. And here's the best part. Right now, you can try Ramsey Plus for 30 days completely free. If you're in and you want to start Ramsey Plus for free, text Ken Plus to 33789. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. As we went into our last break, we were finishing up with Daniel from Toledo, Ohio, who had asked me questions about what skills to actually put on the resume. Do you put some skills on there that may not be as relevant or don't match. And so we answered that. And then he was getting into his next question, and we ran out of time, but thankfully there was another segment. So let's bring him back on. All right, Daniel, hit me with that question.
Okay, so I graduated a couple years ago with an animal science degree, and I've worked in the animal science field and kind of tinkered in veterinary medicine a little bit. And now that I'm applying to a hospital, I don't know if that experience is relevant since it's in the animal science field. I don't want to rub maybe a hiring manager the wrong way. I don't know really how to incorporate that into my resume.
Well, I mean, I thought does it? I mean, you tell me. Does all that animal work, does it correlate to human work?
It does and it doesn't. I know.
Then hold on. So the part that does, list that. The part that doesn't, don't.
Okay.
Make sense?
I think so.
I mean, isn't that what we were saying?
I think so, yeah. I was just afraid of, since humans and animals are so different, I don't want.
Right. So again, you answered. Yeah, but see, here's the deal, Daniel. I already answered it. I understand you re-asked it, but you re-asked the same question. You just got more specific. But you're answering your own question, and it's like you can't grab it. It's like you're nervous that if you put the animal experience on there, it's going to make you look irrelevant or somebody who's out of touch, and you should be nervous about that. Don't do it. You just said it yourself. The experience is so different. You don't want somebody looking at it and being distracted by the fact that they're like, does he know what he's applying for? So again, if it's not relevant, don't put it on there. If it's relevant and it crosses over, do it. Don't overthink it. 844-747-2577. All right. I want to address something that needs to be addressed. So I'm just going to lay it out here. No setup. Here it comes. One of the things that is big time broken about our education system in America, I'm not speaking for other countries because I'm not knowledgeable about it. One of the things that's broken about our education system, and parents, we gotta wake up and we gotta start to do something about it. Because if we all get in unison and start talking about this, it'll change. Standardized testing. I was listening to something the other day, and it just hit me differently than it's ever hit me before. I've taken standardized tests, so have you, and I get it. They serve a purpose, but I think they poorly serve the purpose. There it is. I just said it. Now, quick context. I do not think that education is bad, so spare me the emails and the whatevers, DMs. I'm not going to read them, and I'm not going to engage with you. You don't like what I'm saying? Fantastic. But if I might challenge you for a moment, parents, let's look at what's wrong with standardized testing. So let's look at the word standard. So we say, all right, your kid takes a standardized test and the score comes back either above the standard, whether it's way above or slightly above, or below the standard, or I guess we could say at the standard. So three general results: above the standard, at the standard, below the standard. Those are your three basic results. Well, Ken, I mean, look, we got to kind of know. We got to for this reason, and well, it knows what kind of class we got to put them in, and then tells us what they got to learn and how's the school doing, and the college is going to judge them on. You're exactly right. All those things, and all of that is misguided. All of it. Now I've really got some of you going, what in the world? Stay with me. Allow yourself to critically think. That means you don't have to accept what I'm saying, but listen to what I'm saying and then decide if you want to accept it. But think critically, meaning listen to what I'm saying and let your logic and your reasoning begin to soak and then decide, okay, what do I feel about this? The whole purpose of the standardized test is pure in its intent, but I think it was always wrong. Always. Why? Because we are sending a message to these kids and to parents that are at the standard or below the standard, that you don't quite measure up. And so we're going to react to that. Don't feel bad about yourself. Don't compare the scores. Don't compare the scores. That's what they say. Talk to your kids about this. Tell them not to compare the scores. Okay, I'm sorry. You want me to talk to my kid and tell him not to be a human? Okay, you're right. Got it. I'll handle that. I mean, look, the kid sees the score. They see I'm either below the standard, at the standard, above the standard. And so what does it mean? We look at it. The word standard is it. So you don't meet the standard. Oh, Ken, you're being a little too intense on this. It's going to motivate them. No, it isn't. Standardized testing is what's wrong with our education system because it's going against the very fabric of who we are as humans, and we're customized. I'm customized. Joe, are you standardized or are you customized?
Oh, I'm customized. Thank you.
You better believe it. How many of you just are okay with the standard? Hey, you know what? This is all I want. Standard will work. Don't give me that garbage. Everybody wants customization. I could go through cars, houses, clothing, food, whatever. Don't lie to yourself. Here's the problem. Standardized testing has ushered in a way of educating kids that is also just as misguided and broken. And it is that it is a one-size-fits-all. Here's the deal. And if you fit in this area of the standardized test score, you get to engage with it this way. If you're here or here, you engage this way. And it's broken. Now, let me just use myself as an example because I was not a straight A student. My brother was. My brother is very, very smart, but not just book smart, but he's very book smart. I wasn't very book smart, depending on how you define book smart. And I'm defining it as grades and academics came very easily to me. I was really good all across the board, straight A's. That's what straight A's is. You're good in science, math, English, history, whatever. So what about the rest of us that aren't straight A students? Is it because we didn't try as hard as the other ones? I don't buy that narrative, but that's the narrative that gets sold. Is it true in some cases? Sure. What about the young Ken Coleman who actually struggled in math? Forget young Ken Coleman, Joe. How about current Ken Coleman? If I can't do it on an iPhone, I'm out of luck. Science, couldn't get it. But I could diagram a sentence. I can tell you to the detail what happened on D-Day. I could memorize Bible verses. So there's a part of my brain, folks, that works better than the other. There's nothing wrong with saying that, but when we give kids standardized testing and then we create an education system based on the standard, everything is wrong and it's broken, and it's high time that we said, folks, we've been doing it this way forever. Just because a bunch of people said the world was flat at one point, oh, by the way, the leading scientists in the world said the world was flat. They were wrong, and our education system is wrong. Here's why. Kids are customized. You're customized. We have strengths. We have weaknesses. We have passion. We have stuff that sucks the soul out of our chest. And we ought to create an education plan that is customized to the kid. And I don't care if they take another test the rest of their life. How about they learn by consuming and reading? And then how about they observe? How about they experiment and debate? Folks, the American education system is broken because we have created test takers, not pathfinders. This is the Ken Coleman Show. How many have ever heard the phrase, or maybe you've said the phrase, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life? I got news for you. That phrase is total hot stinking garbage. It's not even true. Sounds nice. Joe, that would shock you, didn't it? Hot fastball there.
Garbage.
Tell people, Joe, why that's hot, stinking garbage.
Because even if you love it, it still work.
Yeah, but you're going to work harder because you love it.
Well, yeah.
Today is one of those days. You can go to my Instagram story if you'd like a sneak peek of my schedule today. At Ken Coleman, I posted a picture of my schedule today, and I've been going nonstop since 9 a.m. this morning broadcasting. And in about 25 minutes, we'll sign off the air here, and I will get a swig of water. I'll go next door and co-host the second largest radio show in America, The Ramsey Show. And we'll do 3 hours there. And then I go right into rehearsal for tonight's Get Hired event, which is a live stream event that kicks off at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. My brain, Joe, is going to be like a piece of licorice tonight. This will be a hard day, but it will be equally exhilarating.
And rewarding.
Yes, thank you, Joe. So, here's what the phrase should be. If you do what you love, you'll work your butt off some days, and you'll still get up fired up the next day. How about that? Speaking of Get Hired, you can still get in. It's a live stream. So I guess you could get in right up until go time, which would be 8 Eastern, 7 Central tonight. We're doing it from our lobby here at Ramsey Solutions, and I'm going to be teaching the basics on how to beat the competition, because that's what this is. To get hired is to beat the competition. I'm going to teach you how to do it. So tickets start at just $20 to watch the live stream. All you got to do is go to RamseySolutions.com/events. KenColeman.com will get you there. You click on events there. You can also text the word hired to 33789. So multiple ways for you to get registered for tonight's event. This is a great gift for somebody who's down and feel like, I can't catch a break. I'm just having a hard time getting that job I want. We're going to be able to help you out. So go check that out. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Birmingham, Alabama. Brianna joins us there. Brianna, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
Good. What's going on?
I originally was calling because I had a question, but it has now sort of turned into a success story. So just to kind of give you some background, I was calling because I've worked for a small business where it's just ran by myself and the owner for the past 3 years, and I've seen no advancement over these 3 years. So I was originally calling about how to approach that. But somehow yesterday, the Lord just gave me some sort of boldness and just opened up the conversation to where I was able to just talk to my boss and, you know, just ask how I can, you know, provide him more value and how I can continue to grow here and not just get stuck. And I walked out of that conversation with over a $20,000 raise and a pay cessation.
What? What? Are you serious?
Yes.
Way to go.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Well, can I say this? I can believe it. So this is fun. I'm going to ask questions, and you are going to be host of the Ken Coleman Show for a few minutes. How's that sound? So I want to know, what was your attitude, your posture, your whole physical countenance like when you started the conversation? Do you recall?
Well, I was very nervous. So since this business is ran just by like myself and my boss, like we have like a very like friendship, you know, like base, but I also like respect that he's my boss. So like for me to get nervous talking to him, he obviously knew that like something was up.
Yes.
So I think my like posture was just like nerves. But
how
like,
did you
also,
start? How did you start the conversation?
I basically was just like, you know, I love working for you. I love what I do. I'm extremely passionate about it. And I don't want to get stagnant. And I just want to know that I can grow here in the future. And like, he just was totally receptive to it, and it was amazing.
Okay, give me an idea. What did he say? You don't have to give me word for word, but like, what was that like?
He basically told me that like he knew what he was currently paying me was not what I'm worth. But you know, like he's never worked for anyone else before and has never, you know, had employees, so like he also doesn't really know like the best way to go about things.
Okay, so pause. So folks, here's what I want you to hear. Your boss, because he values you, when you brought this up, he basically admitted, I don't know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. Yeah. He was kind of like, well, I know you're worth more. And he kind of just said, this wasn't an unhealthy boss. This is a boss who just didn't know what they were doing. And this very conversation with a healthy person goes well. Is that what you see?
Yes.
You felt it. You're like, oh, mm-hmm. He wasn't defensive. He was like, hey,
right.
It's kind of like me with my kids. You know, it's my first time. And so every time one of these teenagers does a boneheaded teenager thing and I try to respond to it, it's kind of like, I've not had to face this before.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, I'm figuring it out as I go too. And when I say that to my kids, they kind of go, okay, all right, Dad, I appreciate that. Doesn't mean they're right, but you get my point. So in this situation, he acknowledged that.
Yes.
Wow. And here's what I also want people to hear. Did you ever bring up a raise in that conversation?
No, I didn't. I wasn't even really going into it, you know, looking for a raise. I just wanted to know that I could advance at some point.
That is so beautiful. That's exactly what I teach.
Yes.
You don't need to. You don't need to talk about a raise.
Right.
If you talk about growth, we're going to find out. Because here's you didn't know how that conversation was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you were nervous.
Yes.
What would have been the unhealthy response?
I guess him getting defensive and like thinking what he, you know, pays me was good enough just because he pays me for working, you know?
Yeah. But the thing that you did right is you went in and you started off with appreciation and gratitude and enthusiasm mm-hmm. for the work. And you said, I just want to grow here. That's right. Just incredible, Brianna.
Thanks.
I'm so proud of you. You know why? Because it's hard. Now I want you to, so you're still host, by the way. I'm the one asking questions still. What would you say to people who got that lump in their throat when they even just hear you tell the story? They're going, oh my gosh, I can't imagine how nerve-wracking that was. Oh, I don't know if I could do it. I think I'd throw up while I was talking to them. What would you say to them?
I would say that if you know your work is worth more and you know that you put a lot of value into someone else's business, that you just need to go for it. You don't need to shortchange yourself.
Yeah. Did you allow yourself mentally to prepare for a bad response and know that that's probably the beginning of the end? Did you go that far in your head or were you totally optimistic?
Oh, I tried to be optimistic because I really just like didn't know. I had no idea how he would respond.
Exactly. Right. I love that you burned the ships. You were like, this is it. I'm going for it.
It was burning
the ships, baby. Here we go. I mean, that's huge because that's what gives you the courage where you kind of go, this conversation has to happen.
Yeah, there was like a point yesterday where like the day was kind of out of schedule. Like he kind of got here late. So I was like, okay, great. Like I'm not going to have the time to talk to him. But then I just made the time because I was like, if I don't do it today, I'm not going to do it.
There's the answer. Ding, 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 folks. You just have to do it.
Yeah.
What did it feel like driving home last night knowing that you got a $20,000 raise? And honestly, more than that, you really got the atta girls that you were wanting to hear.
Yeah. Well, my husband is currently deployed, so like I honestly just couldn't wait to tell him because he's been on me for the past 3 years.
What was that phone call like or Zoom call? What was that like? Did you guys go bananas?
It was awesome. He just couldn't believe that I just did it.
Good for you.
It wasn't even like about the money to him. He just like couldn't believe I did it.
Yeah, he's proud of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm equally proud of you. And I'm also grateful that you decided to call the show because you were going to call and ask me how to approach that. And what's beautiful, folks, is Brianna did it exactly the way I would have told her to do it. She didn't need me. And you did it. And you still called to tell us. I think you've encouraged a lot of people, Brianna. Listen, I really appreciate you. I'm so excited for you. Way to go. Oh, my goodness. And that lady, not only did she grow her income, she grew her courage. She grew her potential. All with one decision. The Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. So excited to have you join us as we talk about purpose. Purpose in your work, which, by the way, will coincide with being more in purpose on your in your life. It just will. You show me a man or woman who's fulfilling the role they were created to fill in their work, you're going to have a more joyous, healthy husband, wife, mother, father. You're just going to. But you, on the flip side of that, show me somebody who's miserable in their work, feeling like they have no worth at work. They're not doing something that they believe that they were created to do, and it will begin to affect them in every area of their life and pull you down. It just will. So it's time that we wake up, folks, and we realize that we, in fact, were created to work. But to do work that we're good at, to do work that we love, and to do work that produces a result that matters deeply to us. Now, if you're not doing that, it doesn't make you a second-class citizen. I'm just telling you, you aren't fully alive. There is a unique role that you're supposed to fill. In other words, somebody out there needs you to be the best version of you, to give yourself away. And you've got to figure out what that is and figure out how to do that. And I'm here to help. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Matthew in Rochester, Minnesota. Matthew, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So I just had a quick question. My dream job is to become a registered nurse, but I do have some concerns because I do have attention deficit disorder. So I was just wondering if I could get some advice on how to go about this with that.
Okay. Do you have any evidence from anybody outside of your own opinion and self-doubt that having ADHD would prevent you from being a good nurse?
I was diagnosed by the doctor in my school.
I didn't ask you that. I said, do you have any evidence that a person with ADHD can't be a good nurse?
Yes. One of my friends is a nurse, and he has ADD, and he has been a nurse for 5 years.
And he's no good?
He's done good.
I said, okay, we're not communicating. Matthew, there is no evidence out there that says that a person with ADD cannot be good at nursing. There's no evidence. True or false?
True.
Matthew? Okay.
Yeah.
There's no evidence. So I don't know why you think that. As a guy who has ADD myself, here's what I know. There are areas where I have hyper focus, areas that I'm good at, areas that I enjoy, and that matter deeply to me. I have hyper focus. Is that true about you?
Yes.
Give me an example.
Doing something that I'm passionate about, always wanting to learn things.
Okay, so when you're in learning mode, are you distracted or are you hyper-focused? You're like a human sponge or you're a gadfly? What is it?
I'm a human sponge.
Yeah, so you love the idea of being a nurse, true or false?
True.
When you are in a nurse situation and you are taking care of someone, do you think you're going to be distracted or do you think you're going to be hyper-focused?
I'm going to be hyper-focused.
Then what are we talking about? Because that should not hold you back. It's what's going to make you great. Anybody I've ever met with ADD has got an area of their life where they're laser focused. And see, there's a good side and a bad side to ADD. I have to have a bowl in my house where I put my keys and wallet in every time I walk in the door, because my wife has had to live with me for almost 23 years. And if I don't do that, I lose my keys all the time. I just do.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep,
but guess what?
Me.
While I'm talking to you, I'm not thinking about anybody else. I have people that are watching me right now in the studio. They're watching me. I can make eye contact with them while I'm talking to you. And I'm not distracted by them. People walking by the window right now looking at me, but I'm talking to you. I got hyper-focus on you. That's the flip side to ADD. So you're going to be a great nurse. You understand?
Thank you.
You yep, bet. Thanks for calling. Believe it, Matthew. You're going to be awesome. And you'll have to deal with your ADD and other detail areas of your life that you don't like. Big deal. They got apps for that, don't they? No kidding. The bowl. My wife got this wooden bowl, and she sits it on the countertop, and she's like, when you come in, put your keys and wallet in here. And you know what? Since we've been doing that, I think I've only misplaced my keys twice.
Can't argue with perfection.
So what? I have ADD and I'm a disaster with small details. Who gives a crap? I'm surrounded by three people right now in Amanda, Joe, and Madison that are way better at stuff that I'm not good at. It's called a team. But I'm the one on the mic. All they got to do is just get me in the chair on time. Okay? They're great at doing all kinds of other details that I can't even hang with them. My brain would just overload and start to smoke out my ears if I did what they do. But guess what? Same is true for them. So it's going to be okay. There are other people that are really gifted in areas that we are not. Let's learn what our giftedness is, step into that, and not worry about the areas that we're not so good in. Somebody else is good in it. Doesn't that just take the pressure off? Come on, folks. Let's go to Eddie, who joins us in Ottawa, Canada. Eddie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm living the dream. What are you doing?
I'm actually doing pretty well. So good. I'm a first-time listener to this channel.
Oh, thank you.
Look, I'm going to be a long-term listener at this point.
Thank you.
So I'll give you my question quickly. I know the show's coming to an end.
Okay.
I recently just opened a strategic development firm in 2020 in January. I've been very fortunate to have a good clientele. I do have, unfortunately, one that I'm struggling with. And just a quick backstory, I've been in sales the entirety of my life, close to 15 years now. And I'm trying to transition this client from paper and pen over to digital. Mind you, they're a small company. They're about three in the office, maybe about 15 in the field. But the other two individuals have really well grasped the digital world, and they've been able to really understand that the move to, let's say, project management software and sales software has been really more or less their way to thrive. But unfortunately, the owner is having a difficulty to really transform or even transition to. And I've done everything from, you know, quoting John Maxwell for change as cost of progression to doing quantification of time against ROI, anything you can think of on selling the idea, but I'm still getting pushback.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to know, what do you think and what could I possibly do to make them understand that using, let's say, project management softwares or invoicing softwares and getting away from the old method to really bring value to his business?
Yeah, you know, it's less and less that you have to convince him, because I think you've tried and it's not working. And you may have actually already convinced him. On paper, he may see the value of what you're saying, but he doesn't want to do it himself. He just doesn't like change. He's an old dog or whatever. You could come up with a million reasons as to why. But I think it's one of those things where, this is shocking when I say this to some people, this may be a situation where you have to be okay with firing your client. Now, I'm not saying you do that, but I'm saying you now need to give him the ultimatum. Hey, look, the rest of your team can do this. You're the one holding this up. Here's the challenge. Are you happy with how I'm serving you? What do you think his answer is?
So the answer was already yes. I know he's very happy the way that I'm serving him. And
right, guess what? So if he doesn't play the way that you're playing, like, look, dude, I can't serve all my other clients this way and you this way. It's not efficient. And if you're happy with what I'm doing, you got to trust me. And if you don't trust me on this, I'm totally okay with it. But I can't engage with you the old way. We're making the change in 30 days. The rest of the team is up to speed. I think they're going to be fine. We need to do this. And if not, I get it. If you're not comfortable with it, I get it. And walk away.
I'm okay with that.
Good.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
That's the only way to go about it now. You've already tried everything else. What do you got to do? Show up at his house and read him a bedtime story? I mean, my goodness.
No, I mean, the objective was really to get his team on board, because
but the
I
team is
at one point to onboard him.
The team is on board, right?
Yeah.
I would tell the team first, I'm about ready to have this my way or the highway, and it's going to be nice. It's not going to be mean. But just tell the team. See if the team will get to him first. If not, you tell him and let the chips fall. You got to have walkaway power. He's got to go, ooh. All right. Before I let you go, folks, remember, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we have more from the Ramsey Network, like Borrowed Future.
Hey, listeners, I'm George Camel, and in this 8-episode podcast series, we're exploring the student loan debt crisis and the impact it's having on real people. We're going to expose the predatory nature of the student loan industry, how we got here, why student loans are such a big deal, and what can be done to avoid them in the first place. We'll hear stories of people burdened by student loan debt and be inspired by people who graduated college debt-free. We'll also hear from experts and thought leaders along the way.
To hear full episodes, just search Borrowed Future wherever you listen to podcasts or go to borrowedfuture.com.